Long, I'd like to read that psalm and set it forth as a passage of our study this morning. Barb and I were gone last week, but it's good to be back with you. We were out seeing some kinfolk and some doing a little traveling, but it's good to be back with you once again. And it's always good that we're into the sort of what we call the holiday season. It's good to see different people come from different places to be with us, and it's good to be able to see somebody you haven't seen in quite a while. So that's, holiday season's a good time. So it's been a blessing to be gone and see people, but it's also good to get home and be back with you. Psalms 100, beautiful psalm. Psalms 100, make a joyful shout to the Lord, all you lands. Serve the Lord with gladness. Come before His presence with singing. Know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us and not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. Enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. For the Lord is good, His mercy is everlasting, and His truth endures to all generations. Beautiful psalm. Ranks right up there with some of the others that we've heard all our life, like Psalms 1. You know, blessed is the man that walketh not in the counsel of the ungodly, or standeth in the way of the sinner, or sitteth in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord. What a beautiful psalm. Psalm 1. And our Psalms 23, we all know that one. And he starts off, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. And it ends in the last verse by saying, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Beautiful psalm, but right in the middle he talks about his death, that though he walks through the valley of the shadow of death, I'll fear no evil, for thou art with me. Powerful psalm. But I have always liked Psalms 100. Just wonderful expressions of God's wishes and thoughts for us as we approach Him. It's one of joy, it's one of gladness. And it's the presence of the Lord that makes all of that possible for us. But I wanted to, if I could, I just wanted to pick out verse 4 and talk about that. This has been the Thanksgiving week, and I thought we would talk about it. In verse 4, enter into His gates with thanksgiving and into His courts with praise. Be thankful to Him and bless His name. Again, just the attitude with which His people approach Him. And it makes this statement, we are His people. Verse 3, know that the Lord, He is God. It is He who has made us, not we ourselves. We are His people and the sheep of His pasture. We belong to Him. We wear His name. And that's the point He wants us to understand. So as a result of this, just this thought, the way He describes God, He says, enter into His gates with thanksgiving. Imagine entering into the very house of God, which for the king, the very city was his house. But just to enter into the city or to enter into his palace would be one of thanksgiving and also a court of praise. Psalms 100 is one of those great psalms. You know, it's not like Psalms 119. It's got, seems like 500 verses in it. But it's just five verses, but they're beautiful. And it's speaking to us about God's presence, but our identity with Him. And He speaks of our relationship with Him. It talks about goodness and mercy. It's one of those great psalms that you could read at any time and be blessed with any state of mind you're in. It can bring you back to the proper attitude we should have. And certainly, we should recognize that to be identified with the Lord today, the Lord's church, and be identified as Christian, to wear His name, it should be that which gives us a tremendous amount of gratitude that He would point to us and say, this is my servant in whom I'm well pleased. And so that's what the wonderful 100th Psalm is all about. And so we enter into these gates with thanksgiving, into His courts with praise, because there are several points that certainly jump out. And I just wanted to use verse 4. But there would be several that would come out from several others. But let me just suggest to you as we... let me try it again. We're having a problem with them. Curtis was having this problem the other day. For some reason, he's having some hesitation. But entering his gates, let me suggest to you, number one, only... Just as you read verse 4 again, enter into his gates with thanksgiving, into his courts with praise, be thankful to him, and bless his name. That would just seem obviously to be, I mean, the only appropriate attitude and response that we should give as we assemble with the people of God, that we assemble in his name and we are thinking about who he is, what he's done for us. And I mean, we could just read so many verses just about him. Let me read three verses from the Old Testament. Then we'll look at the New Testament. From the book of Isaiah. Isaiah 45 and verse 12 says this. I have made the earth and created man upon it. I, even my hands, have stretched out the heavens and all their host have commanded. God is our creator. And that's what Isaiah 45 and verse 12 is talking about. Well, the whole chapter there is talking about it. He says, I have made the earth and created man up on it. What should be our response to that? It'll be quite obvious, isn't it? How we relate to and think about our creator, the one who has blessed us with existence, and then continue with it in Isaiah the 26th chapter and verse 3. Let me read this one. You will keep him in perfect peace whose mind is stayed on you because he trusts in you. You will keep him in perfect, excuse me. You will keep him in perfect peace. He sustains us. Of course, that's what Psalms 23 says and Psalms 1 and so many other passages say. He is not only our creator, but he is our very sustainer. Then back in Isaiah again, Isaiah 44 and verse 6. Thus says the Lord, the King of Israel, and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. I am the first, and I am the last, and beside me there is no God. The Redeemer and his Redeemer, the Lord of hosts. God is our creator. He is our sustainer, and he is our Redeemer. I mean, that's just three verses out of the middle of the book of Isaiah. I don't know how many times we could continue just to repeat that, but just my point was thinking was, you just pick out three verses in the middle of the book of Isaiah like this. It talks about God being our creator and our sustainer, the one who is our redeemer. And then spend the rest of your time looking at all the other verses that can talk about what God is and what he has done for us. We have no right, we have no argument, no understanding to be anything else but thankful. Being a person who looks to our great God that has provided for us. Just when you look at Psalms 100 and verse 4, enter his gates with thanksgiving. Look with me over in the New Testament. We were studying in the book of Ephesians this morning, but in Ephesians, the 5th chapter, we look down at verse 20. He says, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. We can thank him for our existence from what we read in the Old Testament to understand that he is our creator, he is our sustainer, our redeemer. But when we get into the New Testament writers, the Apostle Paul and the others, are continuing with that idea in verse 20 of Ephesians 5, giving thanks always for all things to God the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting to one another in the fear of the Lord. It seems like, and it'd be quite obvious that when you read Psalm 100, verse 4, being filled with thanksgiving, thinking on and dwelling on the very idea of our God and creator and sustainer and redeemer. The only response we would have is truly to praise His name, to be people who would be thankful to Him, and let that thanksgiving flow out in our very lives. I mean, it gets right down to our individual lives. 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter. In 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter, if you'd like to follow along. And we read, Paul's giving a warning here about what's going to happen, what could happen. 1 Timothy, the fourth chapter. Now the Spirit speaketh expressly, says, in the latter times, some will depart from the faith, giving heed to seducing spirits or deceiving spirits and doctrines of demons, speaking lies and hypocrisy. I'm sorry. Speaking lies and hypocrisy, having their own conscience seared with a hot iron, forbidding to marry and commanding to abstain from foods which God created to be received with thanksgiving by those who believe and know the truth. Verse 4, he says, for every creature of God is good and nothing to be refused if it be received. How? Nothing to be refused unless it, except that it be received with thanksgiving. Or we might say, as we, you know, the Lord's Prayer, being thankful for our daily bread. That very attitude of not being overwhelmed with a feast, but what God has provided for us and what He continues to provide for us. Or look with me in Romans, the sixth chapter. Another idea by which we are to recognize, the sixth chapter of Romans. He says, back up to verse 15. Romans 6, verse 15. What then? Shall we sin because we're not under the law, but under grace? Certainly not. Here, Paul's having to deal with that very idea, but it's a good thought that we can develop here. Certainly not. Verse 6. Do you not know that to whom you present yourselves slaves to obey, you are that one slaves whom you obey, whether of sin leading to death or of obedience leading to righteousness? Look at verse 17. But God be thanked that though you were slaves of sin, yet you obeyed from the heart that form of doctrine to which you were delivered. Yet you obeyed from the heart. But God be thanked. This is what we can be thankful for, our existence here, as we read back in Ephesians 5. We can be thankful for the daily bread that we have. And we can be thankful for the salvation that we enjoy right here. Again, as you think about it, and if you just read Psalms 23 and Psalms 1 or Psalms 100, this idea of being filled with gratitude and having a heart of thankfulness lifts us up above the world's attitudes so many times. That's a wonderful thought. How could we be, as you just read these few verses that we've looked at, how could we be anything but thankful about everything? And knowing what the New Testament has developed for us, thanksgiving requires us to focus upon the very blessings of our Lord. When we think of the wonderful passages that we have, when we reflect upon the death of our Lord, as we just did a few moments ago, we are forced to this idea. I've got to make a decision. How is He going to relate to me? And how am I going to relate Him in my life? Look with me over in 1 Corinthians 11, talking about the Lord's Supper. When we think about the Lord's Supper, we lose sight. If we come to the point where we are not focusing upon all the blessings that God has sent our way, I mean, from Genesis all the way up through the middle of the New Testament, if we lose sight of being thankful for all the blessings that God has given to mankind, we certainly would be losing sight of the things that God provided for us in His Son when He was at the cross. We're losing the view, the proper perspective of what it meant when Jesus was on the cross for us. Over in 1 Corinthians, the 11th chapter, and we look down at verse 28. It just said, verse 28, for he who eats and drinks in an unworthy manner, eats and drinks judgment to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. Wow. The previous verse, verse 28, but let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of the bread and drink of the cup. Examine ourselves. And certainly we can't be a person who observes the Lord's Supper in an unworthy manner. We need to focus on what it was and what was taking place and why it was. And if we lose our perspective on Thanksgiving and be people of thanks, we're losing and forfeiting our relationship really to what the Lord wants of each one of us. Thanksgiving should focus upon us that truly one appropriate attitude that we would have in the service of the Lord. And that's what I think Psalms 100 does for us. Let me suggest to you a second thing, and that is it leads us, if we understand and appreciate number one, that it's the and only appropriate response, it would certainly lead us to a change of attitudes of what's happening in our life. And then you might ask, what things would it change in our life? If we had a proper thanksgiving and a gratitude toward the Lord and what he's done for us, well, it'd change everything, wouldn't it? Well, let me just mention two or three. The idea of humility. Proverbs 29 and verse 23 is important because it talks about all of us, and we all have to be concerned about it. Proverbs 29, verse 23. A man's pride will bring him low, but the humble in spirit will retain honor. When we think about what God has done for us and what God has given to us, and we have that proper attitude of thanksgiving and gratitude to what he has given to us, we will not become people puffed up and lifted up in our own hearts and minds, but we will continue to be truly people who recognize their need so many times. To say thank you to someone, I don't care what it's for. Just to say thank you to someone is acknowledging to them they did something for you. They helped you out in some way, or maybe gave you a little bit of guidance. And he said, let me put a word in your ear or help you out. But when we've all been there and we've all done that, when we just say, it may be something very simple, somebody giving you a cup of coffee or something, thank you. It's saying something to them that you and I are acknowledging them for what they did. There's an attitude of humility in this whole idea of being thankful, to be able to express our thanks to one another. Thankful people are humble people. Arrogant, high-minded people are very seldom very thankful. But when we are thankful, it works for us to develop this attitude that he would have for us. And when we're humble, we are very much, I guess, less likely to develop a pride and an attitude of being lifted up in our own thoughts and minds. Look with me in Philippians, the fourth chapter. Philippians, the fourth chapter. Let's see. Philippians 4 and verse 6. We read, Paul says, be anxious for nothing. I think old King James says, be careful, full of care about everything or nothing. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known to God. Prayer and thanksgiving go hand in hand. I don't see how you could divide them, really. A person who truly is thankful, a person who has gratitude in their heart and mind, is a person who's going to be a person of prayer. Be anxious for nothing but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving. Let your request be made known unto God. And I don't think you could separate the two. A prayerful person, a humble person that comes before God is a person who has not lifted themselves up, but they recognize what God has done for us. And recognizing our dependence upon him will certainly cut down on the attitude of selfishness and high-mindedness. Let me suggest another one to you. Psalms 97. Psalms 97. Another good passage in the Old Testament. Psalms 97, and we read verse 12. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. Give thanks at what? Or for what? Just to remember His name, of who He is, what He is, and what God means to us, what Jehovah means, what Jesus, what Christ means, the names of God, the things He would have us to be. People who are thankful are very seldom conceited, but they are content people. People who are content are people who rejoice, and people who have joy in their hearts. Rejoice in the Lord, as He says. Rejoice in the Lord, you righteous, and give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. The remembrance of God's very being, the very thought of what we remember at the first day of the week, remember the death, the price He paid, should bring to us utter gratitude and humility and thanksgiving, but also thankfulness and joy. That's hard to put all that together. But that's really what we're looking at when He talks about this idea that they go together. Thankfulness and joy go hand in hand. If you want to be happy, young people, especially as you go through this difficult life, if you want to be happy and have your life be happy, you sit down every day and you count your blessings. You sit down, I used to work with, we had a family that when they said, before they said prayer or grace at the table, they would say, tell me three things you're thankful for. That was a wonderful thought. Think about what you're thankful for. Focus upon that. Count your many blessings. We sing that. That's the point He's wanting for us when He makes this statement. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. And most importantly, thank God. And count your blessings, but more importantly, thank God for that. If we are filled with the thought of gratefulness, there won't be any room for ingratitude. There will be hard times. There will be difficulties. Well, that's just life. But go through life with this attitude. Give thanks at the remembrance of His holy name. Let me suggest to you thirdly and lastly, entering His gates with thanksgiving. It brings a life, it develops a life of purpose, of resolve, of why I'm here and what's expected of me. We don't just wander through life. We focus our thoughts upon this one thing of which we're happy about. If you're there with me in Psalms 97, look on over in Psalms 107. Psalms 107, and we look down at verse 22. We'll back on one minute. Just back up to, let's see, verse 17. Psalms 117. I'm sorry. Psalms 107, verse 17. Verse 17. Fools, because of their transgression and because of their iniquities, were afflicted. Their soul abhorred all manner of food, and they drew near to the gates of death. Then they cried out to the Lord in their trouble, and He saved them out of their distresses. He sent His word and healed them and delivered them from their destruction. Oh, that man would give thanks to the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving and declare His works with joy, rejoicing. When we're thankful, we're going to be people who, in verse 22, let them sacrifice the sacrifices of thanksgiving. We're not just offering a lamb, but our sacrifice to God is our thanksgiving. And let people hear that. The things we're thankful for, the things that fill our heart with gratitude. Let us be people who sacrifice the sacrifice of thanksgiving. In all of our life, we don't know the truth. And someone teaches us the truth. Think of the gratitude that we would feel of someone who has taught us the truth or led us in the truth. But not just that, we'd want to teach someone else. We'd want them to bless with the same thing. If we're thankful for the food and clothing and shelter we have, we would certainly want to help someone else to have food, clothing, and shelter. We want to help our neighbor so that they would be blessed. It leads us to a life of purpose, of being people of thanksgiving. Look with me over in John, the 6th chapter, where Jesus fed the 5,000. Jesus was saying, saying, gather up the baskets. But what's impressive to me, Jesus says in verse 10, John 6, and Jesus said, make the people sit down. Now there was much grass in that place, so the people sat down in the number about 5,000. And Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, he distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to those sitting down, and likewise of the fish, as much as they wanted. And when they were filled, he said to the disciples, gather up the fragments that remain so that nothing is lost. This is what Jesus was doing. Jesus went about blessing people, healing the sick, and doing what he could, but all of it was to the point of pointing people to God. Most especially that they would hear the truth of God and the plan of salvation and be able to bless people. Jesus' thankfulness for the bread was translated into an overflow of the things. What did it say? 12 baskets? And that was the point he wanted us to hear. Consider the significance of, again, the Lord's Supper we've talked about as we observed just a few moments ago. In Luke, the 22nd chapter, in verse 19, and he took bread and gave thanks and brake it and gave unto them, saying, this is my body which is given for you. This do in remembrance of me. Remember the sacrifice he made for us. It reminds us of what God in Christ did for our welfare when we were lost in sin, and how the eternal Son of God went to the throne on our behalf. It reminds us what we can do for others. Teach them the truth. Be people who know the truth. Be able to help people and teach them. That'd be the greatest thing you could do for them. But also be people who love people, who see people who are just hardships and difficulties. What an idea, bringing a life of purpose with regard to that. Let me end with Hebrews 13th chapter. Hebrews 13, and we'll read down about by verse 15. Hebrews 13, and we'll read verse 15. Paul writes this. He says, therefore, by him, let us continually, therefore, by him, let us continually offer the sacrifice of praise to God, that is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name. That's what Paul wants us to be. That's what he wants us to do. And at this time of the year when we have a great day, and the day is the holiday of Thanksgiving, and we've got some great holidays, the 4th of July, New Year's Day, and many other holidays, but Thanksgiving is such a great day because we stop for just a little while and we think, we think of all of the blessings that God has given to us. And when we think about here in Psalms 100 and verse 4, entering into God's gates with praise and honor and thanksgiving, just thinking of that, it is the only appropriate response that we should give. It leads to changes in attitudes, the way we live life, and as a result, then changes our purpose in life, who we are and what we are. I hope the study has been helpful for you. We haven't been dealing with first principles in regards to someone obeying the gospel of Christ. But this morning, if you're here and you're not a member of the body of Christ, we'd certainly be desirous of helping you obey the gospel of Christ. If there's one here who has the faith that the happy to assist you in that. And of course, if there's just someone who desires the prayers of the brethren, we'd be glad to go to God's throne on your behalf
If you're a subject here this morning, would you please come and stand and sing?
This world is not my home. I'm just a passing through. My treasures are laid up somewhere beyond the blue. The angels beckon me from heaven's open door. And I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. They're all expecting me, and that's one thing I know. My Savior pardoned me, and now I onward go. I know He'll take me through, though I am weak and poor, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Just up in glory land, we'll live eternally. The saints on every hand are shouting victory. Their songs of sweetest praise drift back from heaven's shore, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore. Oh, Lord, you know I have no friend like you. If heaven's not my home, then, Lord, what will I do? The angels beckon me from heaven's open door, and I can't feel at home in this world anymore.
Men, have any other announcements we need to make?
Singing
tonight. Have a business meeting immediately following the men over here. Anything else? If not, we'll be dismissed in prayer.
Heavenly Father, we thank Thee for this day that we were able to gather and learn Thy word and be edified by all that You teach and Your wisdom that we can take to our lives. And Lord, we pray for those who are in harm's way that are spreading Thy gospel, who are meeting, that they'll be